Evolution Radio.
The journey begins to fun, health, and freedom.
We take it in turns to act as a sort of executive officer for the week.
Yes.
But all the decisions of that officer have to be ratified at a special bi-weekly meeting.
Yes, I see.
By a simple majority in the case of purely internal affairs.
Be quiet.
But by a two-thirds majority in the case of more...
Be quiet. I order you to be quiet.
Look, you stupid bastard. You've got no arms left.
Yes, I have.
Look.
It's just a flesh wound.
I don't believe I've seen such a display of courage, skill, nerve, grace, and stupidity.
I'll do you for that.
What?
Come here.
What are you going to do, bleed on me?
I'm invincible.
You're a loony.
The Black Knight always triumphs.
Roundtable Live, Monday through Friday, 1 a.m. till 4 a.m. Eastern Time. Bring your mind, bring your ideas, bring your voice. King Arthur had nothing on us. Here, Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com.
This is Thomas, a.k.a. a Mad Painter. I'd like you to join me Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern Standard Time for Open Canvas. Don't forget to bring an open mind.
Yes, folks, that's right. Bring an open mind to an open canvas. Again, that is Monday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern. UFOs to government corruption. This is Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. You don't need to expect us. We're already here. Thanks for listening while we took that short break here at Revolution Radio, freedomslips.com. And now we're going to get back to your host.
Welcome to BitBoy Crypto. My name is Ben. Today, we're going to be talking about the imminent collapse of Binance and why so many people want to see this happen. It's so sad if you ask me, to be honest with you. Everybody wants things in a space to fall apart. Why? The world loves chaos. I've told you guys this a lot of times. But, there's a lot of people out there that are in a lot of pain. And they really want to see a lot of pain inflicted on other people. Bitcoin, after the big dump the other day, has been really flat, really steady. Hasn't really been pumping or dumping. So, we're taking a look at some of the news that's going on. And, some attempts to get the price maybe to go down further. Let's talk about this situation with Binance, because this is absolutely insane what is going on with Binance. We have the SEC has come out and said that Binance US is an exchange selling unregistered securities. Wow, guys, this is quite the accusation that the SEC has made here. Gary Gensler, who would have thought? Gary Gensler, my friend, my buddy, Gary Gensler has said that an exchange in America is selling unregistered securities. People are making a big deal about this on Twitter, and I'm like dying laughing on the inside. Guys, Gary Gensler said every altcoin is a security. Every altcoin outside of Bitcoin is a security. That's what Gary Gensler has already said. So since he's already said that, of course Binance US is selling unregistered securities, according to him. But I told you guys that last week, I was really astounded to find out that people in Congress at the Capitol did not know about the Library case. Library case is the most significant case in the history of cryptocurrency. It's not even close. It set a precedent so that secondary sales of altcoins are not securities, which means Binance US is not actually selling unregistered securities. There's not one thing on Binance US that has been considered to be a security. Even if a token sale was a security, the precedent now is that the secondary market sales are not securities. So It's absolutely ridiculous what Gary Gensler is doing here by trying to go after the exchanges. Hey, Gary, how about you actually win a case and then win regulation over an altcoin, and then maybe you can flap that lizard jaw, okay? So now you have to think about what's going on with Binance here, because we have, on one hand, we have Gary Gensler saying that Binance is selling unregistered securities with U.S. We have more. There was a document going around Twitter. I think it was fake, and I'll tell you why. It might not be. It may be real, but I think it was fake. Saying that the Senate wrote a letter to Binance asking them to come talk about what's going on within their exchange. Now, first of all, Binance owes the United States absolutely nothing. Owes them absolutely nothing. So Binance does not have to come here and talk about that. By any stretch of the imagination. But I do think that it is fake, because usually when you see a letter from the Senate, that letter is going to have senators' names attached to it, and this one did not. There were no senator names attached to it that I saw. So how to confirm the authenticity of this? But you're obviously getting a gigantic FUD campaign again against Binance. And you just have all kinds of people out there that are wanting to see it fall, wanting to see it collapse. And I can't get inside of their mindset. What I will tell you is there is a real effect going on Binance from all of this FUD. And look, FUD probably isn't the right word, because this is a real thing that did occur. But obviously, we talked about the stablecoin wars. Circle, remember this, Circle snitched on Paxos. Paxos mints BUSD. We have seen the BUSD market cap drop now below $9 billion as the BUSD is drying up. Now, some people have said, well, when you see this happening, you know, this means that the liquidity is about to get pulled. No, absolutely not. That's not true at all. What's happening is Paxos and Dollar are minting it. So people are then rushing in to trade their BUSD in case something happens. Guys, the stablecoin wars are here. They are happening. It is what is going on in the greater world when it comes to the CBDC. They're trying to get this. They're trying to crush competitors of USDC. And they're trying to set the framework and the patchwork for USDC to become the world cryptocurrency, the world reserve currency. USDC is going to become that. So, I think it's only a matter of time before we see more stable coins gone after. It's only a matter of time before we see USDT, BUSD banned from America. This is coming. You can go ahead and bet your bottom dollar on this. And we've been asked to create a survey of our users, our audience, on what you guys want on stablecoin regulation. So maybe we can play a hand in this. One of these questions is, do you believe that there should only be one stablecoin in the United States that's tradable? That's going to be one question we want to ask and see what you guys think about that. If you guys have any other questions you think would be great, go ahead and jot those down below in the comment section. I'd love to get the input of the Bit Squad as we send out this survey here probably by the end of next week. And really excited to see what comes from that. Really excited to see how we can impact change and impact regulation for the good, not for the bad. All right, guys, that's all I got. Binance, people want to tear it down. It's still standing. People are saying there's an imminent collapse. I don't think it's going to happen. I think they have the reserves. That's all I got. Be blessed. Well, yeah.
This is all part of the war on crypto. Today is the sixth day of March 2023. It's about 8 minutes after 1 p.m. on the West Coast here in California. This is Crypto Corner. I am Crypto0XC05713. And yeah, so as you just heard BitBoy say, that was just several hours ago, he created that. It is the ongoing, even though there is legal precedence now that basically is defined that what is on Binance, what is a security in the crypto world and what is not, that's the reason Binance US exists, because the original Binance had items that still does, the international version, that would be considered securities per se. And they could not be, well, you know, because of the red tape that goes along with being a United States citizen because of all the interesting laws that are designed to protect us and the IRS and the taxes and everything else, you don't get to play in the same pool as the rest of the world, American citizen. No, you have to have a special playpen. And that, and Binance was nice enough to set one up because they want your money too. That's the Binance.us site. And so even though there's been legal precedents, but who cares about laws when it comes to the people that make them, right? When it's up to the government regulators and enforcers, the laws are for you. They create the laws so that they can persecute you with them. Yes. So again, the war on crypto and the haters are going to be out there waiting and hoping that crypto is going to fall. Something's got to happen, but you know what? Damn it. It's the only thing out there that's saving you against the CBDCs. But a lot of people will say it's too complicated. That's because most people don't want to use their brain. And so then you're going to get the world you're going to get, a world designed for stupid people, unless you all wake up. Anyway, we got some other news. Let's go and see what this guy has to say.
When does it all change? When are we going to see all of crypto go back up dramatically and start to see prices rise, the entire crypto market come back? That's what we're going to talk about. This is not speculation. We're going to talk about this in the context of the next Bitcoin halving event. Now, if you do not own Bitcoin, you don't care about Bitcoin, do not tune me out. Stay here because this impacts you. If you own any single crypto coin or token, you need to watch this entire video because it will impact you. Because why? When Bitcoin goes up dramatically, what happens to the rest of the crypto market? It goes up as well. Okay. So stay to the end. I got a lot to tell you, and it's good stuff and good news. Okay. So by the way, subscribe, hit that subscribe button, drop a like, tell the algorithm that we're here. Can Bitcoin reach $200,000 post-halving? Again, if you do not care about Bitcoin, just insert any token coin name here where I say Bitcoin, or think about it in the overall grand context of the entire crypto market, because this is a huge deal and this is a good thing. This is good news. Okay. So right now crypto is at 1 trillion. It's up just a little bit. Okay. Now, if you go back and you look historically, okay, at the previous halving events, and this chart does a fantastic job of laying those out for us, you can see these are the cycles of Bitcoin. It's as it's progressed from, say, 2011 all the way through the first halving, second, third, and we're about to reach the fourth halving, which is right here where my mouse is, where my cursor is moving, okay? So
this is something that I've been pointing out because this is something that everybody in the hardcore crypto people have followed. Anyway, don't let me interrupt.
I want to show you this. So right here, you see where this says 2024, this says 2023 right here. So right here at 2023, you can see that in 2022, Bitcoin hit its peak of 70,000, and you can see it's been moving down, right? Right here where my mouse is. It's been moving down. And we are about, or we're basically there now. We're basically at the low point, whether it goes to 19, 20,000, you know, that's probably, you know, possible, right? Short-term risk, all this kind of stuff. I've done videos about that. But then if you see right here, see where my mouse is right here, okay? If you scroll, if you pull down, that's kind of a mid 2023, i.e. the summer. That's the answer to question number one. When does it all change? The summer. This summer of 2023 is when we will hit the bottom and we will start to move back up. Okay. We'll move back up to 50,000 right there. See, kind of like right in kind of end of 2023. So we're seeing in 2023, a move from, say, right where we're at now, low 20,000 range to 50,000. This is, again, per the Bitcoin halving chart itself. And then you're going to see a little bit of a move down. The halving event's going to happen in April of 2024. That's the estimated approximate. Move around a little bit. It's going to move back down. And it will, and that will, so it'll go from about 50,000 to about 34-ish right there. And then that will start a significant move back up that will go into 2025. So from 2000 and I'm trying to look, it's kind of like mid 2024, we're going to go down to probably about 35, just again, and look at the data, look at the chart, okay? Look at the chart. It's pretty much all here, okay? 50, 34, 35. Is the basically the bottom there, if you will. And then from 2024 into 2025 and rolling into mid 25, you're going to see as high as a 200,000. Now, again, even if you don't care about Bitcoin, everything else rises with it. Ethereum, Cardano, all the Shiba Inu, Dogecoin, everything goes up with it. So that's the breaking crypto news aspect of this video, is that there's an exact time frame for you of when it all is going to kind of lay out. Okay. Hope you enjoyed this video. And before I let you go, check out Bybit, my referral links below. This is the.
Okay. So, you know, interesting thing is I was looking at, I forget where I saw it. It was on Telegram, I think. There was a reference to some historical data that supposedly was like distributed to amongst, let's say, high-ranking Masonic members. Let's say back in like the Industrial Revolution, in the 1920s and the 1890s, that time, that era, was turn of the 19th to the 20th century, that there was documentation that was distributed, I guess, that showed a correlation, some sort of. What was it correlated to? It was just, it was timed. Like they showed good years and bad years, when you should buy your stocks basically, and when you should sell your stocks, when you should, it was this sine wave kind of thing. It had this cycle that had the good year cycle, and then there were some bad years, and then good years and bad years. And they were literally predicting and telling them that's like, this is supposedly what part of the tools the elite use. Like, well, how do these rich guys always know when to buy and when to sell? Oh, there's a pattern. There's a set governed system that they are privy to. And I'm wondering if this, in a way, this happening sort of chart, the historical, may be a sort of equivalent to that. We're showing the cycles, the good and the bad, because there are regular cycles. And if you look, you can see, okay, this is actually, I mean, unless everything just changes all of a sudden, that from the time of that it was first recorded up until present, it has been a consistent cycle. And if we extrapolate that cycle out, then it looks like we can predict what the next cycles will be. I mean, it's logic. Okay, so there's that. Let's see what George has to say.
Welcome back to Cryptos Are Us. I'm George, or all George. So, welcome to another market open stream. Good morning. So today we got to talk about what's going on. This morning, what's going on for this week, and what's going on with Bitcoin. If this Bitcoin pattern repeats just like it did in 2019, what does that mean? How high will Bitcoin go? Well, let's talk about all these things and more today. So, welcome, 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 guys. And I just made the morning bell, the best bell in the industry. And we are opening this morning in the green, and apparently in the green. I don't know. It's kind of even. Last week, we don't know. Last week was kind of up and down, a little sideways movement, really no momentum in either direction. This week, I think today will probably be the same thing, because everyone is, again, looking to see what Powell is going to say. This is not an FOMC meeting. This is just him talking to a group of investors. This will be tomorrow and Wednesday. So today, probably no movement, because people just want to hear what he has to say. Because since the last meeting, we received a couple more economic data that shows softening, but labor force still strong. PCE inflation went up while CPI went down, so people are really anxious to hear what he has to say. Now,
Okay, I got to interrupt because I just saw, Malia in our chat room over at the Element chat or Matrix chat, which is tinyurl.com/freedomslips, posted, Zuckerberg's metaverse is aborted. I mean, Meta is just not having a good week. As you may or may not be aware, the entire Llama AI algorithm has been leaked. The torrent is out there. It's like 200 and something gigabytes, and it is their entire algorithm that was not supposed to be made available. But that is has been leaked, and now Zuckerberg's metaverse is aborted. $24 million, or no, $24 billion. Down the drain. Microsoft pulls out from Metaverse, Echo VR shutdown, Krita shutdown, Metaverse avatars still don't have legs. Facebook will focus on copying ChatGPT AI instead. So, well, not good news for Meta. Anyway, let's see what else is going on.
Next week, I think, will be even more important than this week because we do get another CPI reading that will be measuring inflation in February, and then the week after that we have the FOMC meeting. So for the next 2 weeks, 3 weeks, you know what? We may get some volatility. And this week we do have a lot of economic data that's also coming out, right? Unemployment rate this Friday. We're at a 53 or 55 year low right now. Is that going to hold? Non-farm payrolls, is that going to increase? Right, as more people are finding jobs, jobless claims, is that still going to decrease? You know, we got a lot of stuff here, a lot of labor data, unemployment data this week. So, can we expect some volatility? Yes, but doesn't mean, when I say volatility, doesn't mean it's always bad. It could be good. Although, when it comes to economic data, generally speaking, you don't have things that's going to drive the market up because everyone thinks good economic data makes this guy more hawkish. You know, that's the problem right now. But we'll see. Right now, as for Bitcoin is kind of stuck too, 22.4, right? So people are wondering what's going to happen. We received a lot of FUD last week because of Silvergate. And I have more to share about this in a little bit. But right now, we're caught between FUD from Silvergate and also positive news from China. We know that China is recovering right now, right? Their economy is blooming or getting there. And supply chain issues are dissipating. So these are great things, right? So which one is going to affect Bitcoin more, right? We don't know. But I do know this. Silvergate is temporary. Even though the FUD is real, it is temporary, and we will get past it. But right now, it seems like this is another source of FUD that, again, we have FTX to thank for. This is another FTX contagion. But we will get past this. As for DXY, for some of you guys that are curious about DXY, we're trending down a little bit. If you look at the past week, we've been lower, but we also been higher. We're kind of going sideways, right? DXY is another indicator of how strong the dollar is, and people gravitate to the dollar whenever there's FUD and weakness. And we have seen DXY climb a little bit higher, but not too bad. So something else to pay attention to, but we haven't really seen a move in either direction for a couple weeks now. Now, as for Bitcoin itself, well, first of all, there is an inverse correlation between DXY and Bitcoin, right? So this is why I always bring up DXY, because you may be wondering, well, what does the strength of the dollar have to do with Bitcoin? It does, because whenever the DXY does go down, when people take their money out of the dollar, what does that mean? They're buying something with it, right? So they usually buy risk on assets like tech stocks and Bitcoin. You can clearly see the inverse relationship, right? And even though we were climbing down from its peak of like 115, we're not quite there back to where we want, and that would be around 80-something, below 100. We were getting very close at one point, right? But now we've crept up a little bit. But if DXY continues to go down, right, beyond 100 and down to 90s or 80s, only good things will happen to Bitcoin. So there's that to look forward to, and this is pretty self-explanatory, right? When you're looking at coming up from bottom, whenever there is a crossover, especially with, well, if you just look at the basic, you just look at monthly RSI. Monthly RSI is coming up from bottom. Actually, in fact, we were at a point, the most oversold point from a monthly scale ever in Bitcoin's history. So think about that, first of all, right? So if that happened, that means the recovery could be the fastest in Bitcoin's history, too. The recovery could be tremendous. But this one is looking at the RSI crossover with the SMA 14, okay? And when you look at that, well, usually when things cross, that's usually when Bitcoin's coming out from bottom and good things happen, right? So there's, of course, there's that. There's a lot of this kind of stuff. But this is the one that I wanted to really talk about. I mean, I've shown stuff like this before, but I mean, just look at how uncanny our patterns right now versus 2019, right? Even though the scenario is different, even though we're in a very different macro environment, okay? Yeah, I realize all that, but still, you look at how Bitcoin fell from top, established a bottom, right? Then broke through the trend line. This is a multi-year trend line. This is not like a daily trend line, okay? We're talking about a multi-year trend line, right? And then what happens afterwards? You have a really good recovery. I remember when we went from 3,000 to 14,000, right? I was actually at Disney World when we hit 14,000. I was streaming from the pool. I remember that point vividly, right? But if you're looking at that same mark, which is the 618 Fibonacci level, that would put Bitcoin at 50,000 if we're following the same pattern, right? And this is why so many people think that realistically we could hit it as soon as like June or July maybe, because that's how fast we recovered in 2019. So can we repeat the same kind of recovery in 2023? It would be amazing. It would be amazing if it happened, despite the FUD. You know, everything that we just gone through with the FTX collapse, Silvergate, and all this stuff, right? It would be amazing to see it happen. And here's the thing. It could happen because, like I just said, Bitcoin has never been this oversold, right? When we went down to 15,000, even though the price is higher than 3,000, but if you're measuring from top, we have never been this oversold. We had the longest drawdown time in Bitcoin's history. Who's to say we can't recover just as quick, if not even quicker than before, right? And then who knows? After we hit that point, we'll probably come down a little bit. And then after the halving event, who knows how high Bitcoin will be? 150,000, 200,000, 250,000? All we can do is guess at this point, right? But if we do follow that same recovery as 2019, things could move very, very, very quickly within the next 3 to 4 months, okay? 3 to 4 months. Imagine that, 50K by June or January. That would be crazy and not be totally unexpected either. All right, and here's one that goes back even further, right? A little complicated, but I just showed you 2019. What about 2015? Same thing. After breaking through a multi-year trend line, which is down, when Bitcoin breaks through, good things happen. It's really that simple, right? When we break through, and all this is due to the halving event, in case you're wondering, well, why does it happen every 4 years, right? In case you don't know, it's due to the halving event. The halving event is where the number of Bitcoins being released or found per block is decreased in half every 4 years. That's why it's called the halving event. And eventually it'll get to a point where there is no more, okay? We don't have to worry about that for quite some time. But the inflation rate is being cut in half every 4 years. Unlike the USD, which keeps on increasing forever, which means the buying power of your USD keeps decreasing every year, Bitcoin goes in reverse. Bitcoin makes it more scarce every 4 years, and there will be a set supply, right? Big difference between USD and Bitcoin. And then lastly, I want to show you guys this about Bitcoin. The number of exchange deposits is getting really, really, really low. And whenever it gets really low, and this is only going back a month, but take a look. Before Bitcoin started coming up, right, the number of exchange deposits of Bitcoin fell down pretty hard. And this was when Bitcoin was hovering around 15, 16K, right? Then what happened, right? We saw that pretty good recovery up to 25,000. So take a look at exchange deposits right now. Very, very low once again, 1 month low. So does that mean we're setting up for the next leg up? Just like a month ago when we pumped up to 25,000. Could happen, but overall, we know that less and less people are depositing Bitcoin into the exchanges, and more Bitcoin are being withdrawn from exchanges. So that's why the exchange reserves keeps diving and keeps dropping down. And that leads to scarcity. And that's good. That's good. And you know what? It's not just Bitcoin. So if you look at like Ethereum, look at Ethereum's balance on exchanges. Hit a 4-year low and continues to go down, even though my camera is cutting this off a little bit. But I mean, just take a look at that. That's a huge, tremendous drop. So it's not just Bitcoin. It's everything. It's everything, including Ethereum. And the more they go down, the better, of course. Again, just because it becomes more scarce, right? And eventually, maybe another 5 years, maybe in 10 years, there'll be very little left to be traded on these centralized exchanges. And then, if you think about it, then I don't know what's going to happen to the price, because at that point, you know, think about the 8 billion people that are not exposed to crypto yet. Imagine if all of them starts trying to get in while the supply on exchanges plummet, right? So you have supply doing this and demand doing this. What's going to happen to the price? It pretty much goes up like this.
So what? Yeah, up, straight up. So what would, like, yeah, parabolic up. What would happen in a scenario where, you know, anything can happen in this world, right? The unexpected. And who would have thought, you know, that Bitcoin would be where it's even at right now, when it was something in 2010, 2011 that was trading for under a penny or even a few dollars. You know, there's people at a couple hundred dollars. Nobody expect, but nobody expected a lot of things. Now, we expected the lockdowns. I don't know if you've heard of, maybe tomorrow we'll go into Project Fear. Yeah, there is some revelations about the recent attempt to control the world, which they're not stopping. And so, you know, the CBDC, the central bank digital currency, you've heard myself and others say that the best argument against a CBDC is Bitcoin. Open source, consensus-driven currency that's trustless, like Bitcoin. Now, it's not perfect, but it's a damn good model to start with. A decentralized system that empowers everybody equally across the board. So what happens if, let's say, in the powers that be, in their attempt to get everybody to shift over to CBDC, what if that fails? And some other force, some other catalyst, some other black swan event occurs that puts Bitcoin, for example, in the spotlight as an alternative. And let's say in a scenario where a whole bunch of people decide we're going to jump into that alternative now. Now that Bitcoin has been around for well over a decade, and now that Bitcoin has proven it's actually robust and a sound form of digital units of account as an alternative, there might be a large influx of folks that say, maybe I should jump into this because it seems to still be around. It seems to be a pretty good hedge at the time in this technical aspect. Maybe there will be some people that educate themselves enough and say, all right, what happens then when Bitcoin goes from 15,000, 20,000, 30,000 to 300,000 as it gets even scarcer? And then people look back and go, oh, yeah. The other alternative, of course, is to sit and do nothing and to shun it and to talk bad about it and just wait and hoard your gold if you've got it, hoard your stamps if you've got them. Physical assets are okay. But then somehow, some way, they're probably going to present the CBDC to you when you want to interact in the digital world. And by that time, Bitcoin's going to be way out of, well, it's going to be less accessible, I would say, than it is right now. I'm just saying. I mean, maybe that won't happen. Who knows?
To the moon or Mars or beyond. So good things are happening everywhere, not just for Bitcoin, but for Ethereum. And I'm sure if you measured a balance of, let's say, BNB or Cardano or all these other major players, it's probably the same thing too. All right, so speaking of some of that FUD, right, because of what's been happening with Silvergate, you know, a lot of exchanges now have to come up with a backup plan, right? Kraken, actually, they're not announcing plans to launch their own bank, become their own bank, probably because they feel like they can't trust anyone anymore, right? Everyone severed ties with Silvergate. And you know what? The other major bank out there that helps, you know, crypto exchanges onboard and offboard, on-ramp and off-ramp fiat is Signature. And Signature recently implemented a rule where you can't do SWIFT transactions less than 100,000. This first affected Binance, right? And then people were like blaming Binance. Oh, it's a Binance thing. No, it's a Signature Bank thing, right? So Kraken even steps away from Signature Bank. So Kraken right now, they don't use Silvergate or Signature. So I don't know who they actually use for fiat on-ramp or off-ramp. But they do want to become their own bank or come out with a bank that helps with this. We'll see if this happens. They're under a lot of scrutiny right now, obviously, right? SEC went after them, forced them to stop staking. Are there other things coming? We don't know, right? But there's just a lot of uncertainty in the U.S. because of Gary Gensler. He's causing a whole lot of problems right now, and no one knows what's coming next. We need companies and people to stand up to Gary Gensler, which is why Coinbase started that 364 initiative, 365 initiative, right, to get people involved, right? But that's what's happening right now. So Kraken feels like they need to come out their own bank. You know, Coinbase, they dumped Silvergate last week, as did so many others. So Coinbase signs up as a Signature Bank. But again, because Signature Bank has that, you know, 100,000 rule, right, this is limited to their prime accounts, which are institutional accounts. So I don't know what Coinbase, who they're using for, like, smaller retail accounts. But it's causing a whole lot of exchanges problems. Bybit just announced that they were stopping USD withdrawals, too, and USD deposits, for the same reason, because they don't know who to use anymore. So that's why they introduced MasterCard debit cards to allow people to spend their crypto while they're trying to figure things out, right? So it's causing a whole lot of disruption. And this is the reason why so many are starting to learn about DeFi. I know, you know, it's very convenient to use these exchanges, and I still do too. It's not like I'm totally off, right? It's really easy to use the exchanges, especially for a lot of these smaller cap coins,
right? And I get that. But more and more people are turning DeFi because of the FTX situation and because of all the banking shenanigans that's happening right now, right? And plus, if you want to be completely secure with your own crypto, not your keys, not your crypto, right? You have to know how to store your crypto on your own wallet, right? And I think that's the biggest problem. That's the biggest problem that people have is they think it's too complicated. They don't want to learn that. But honestly, even if you don't use it, which you should definitely know how to secure your crypto on a Ledger or Trust Wallet, right? Or MetaMask, whatever it may be.
You should know how to secure your assets in the modern world, basically, I think, is what he's trying to say. Yeah. You know, a lot of people aren't aware. Maybe they've heard the term DeFi before, decentralized finance. That is a relatively new field out there. It requires diligence. It requires research. It requires thinking. It requires learning new things. It requires diving into the unknown. And for a lot of people, all of those are uncomfortable. But for some people, yeah, you know, just like, I guess it's just like there's some people that like to skydive. There's some people that like to go caving and run around in caves, and some people that like to dive into the unknown digital world, I suppose. But as we progress into the future, you know, there are nefarious actors out there. So it's good. It's prudent to be able to have your own knowledge as a form of self-defense in a way, a form of intellectual shielding, if you will, to that may even carry over into assisting your existence in the real world when, you know, in the future and somebody comes along with some sort of complicated or the state says, if you don't know how to do that, we'll give you this. Maybe you should have learned how to do that.
Know how to transfer in and out, know how to secure your seed phrase, which is basically recovery phrase, right? And learn how to connect to a DEX and use it, right? It's not that difficult. These days, it's pretty easy. It's pretty easy. But yeah, I think moving forward, there will be a lot more people that will be utilizing DeFi. And DeFi is actually terrific. As long as there's enough liquidity and you remember to leave a little bit for gas, which is annoying. But outside of that, DeFi has come a long, long way. Long way. So, good stuff. Good stuff. All right, that is what's going on this morning. U.S. market is kind of flat like I expected. Silvergate is still dumping like crazy. Silvergate went from like $20 to $5 in a matter of a few days. Tesla's down a little bit. Coinbase is down a little bit. Okay. Let's do some Q&A.
Okay, well, okay, let's go back to that. Okay, and I'm back. All right, so there was one thing I wanted to touch on. You know, so some people have been talking about how Bitcoin and crypto mining is doing horrible things for the environment because it takes up so much power. It takes up so much energy. Well, we've got a rebuttal for that. The U.S. Senate Committee on Environment and Public Works, or EPW, will hold a hearing on digital assets and the environment. This hearing will almost exclusively focus on the energy use from Bitcoin's proof-of-work mining process. Now, at its simplest, Bitcoin data centers, also known as miners, use computers to secure the Bitcoin network and process transactions. For this work, of course, you know that they're rewarded in BTC. Now, critics have highlighted the large amount of energy use of Bitcoin miners and argued that governments should either clamp down on Bitcoin mining or force miners to switch away from proof-of-work protocol and change the fundamental operations and operate in a less energy-intensive fashion. Now, the critics, they lack important context, such as the fact that more energy is lost in the transmission and distribution of electricity than the entire Bitcoin network uses annually. Having governments clamp down on Bitcoin's energy usage or attempting to switch on how transactions are processed would not only undermine the Bitcoin network, but also impede energy innovation, positive environmental outcomes, and economic opportunity in America. Bitcoin can drive renewable energy innovation. It has the potential to expand renewable energy generation. Renewable energy currently struggles with reliability, cost, and use of electricity throughout American power grids. Bitcoin mining provides a solution to each of these issues. Solar and wind energy are intermittent because they only produce energy when the sun is shining and the wind is blowing. Much of this energy is generated when demand is low, and if this energy is not stored in batteries or simply wasted or curtailed, Currently, the state of California is on track to curtail 5 million megawatt hours by 2030. This is more energy than the bottom 36 nations use combined. Bitcoin miners stand ready to purchase excess energy from wind and solar farms, improving the revenue for renewable generation and preventing taxpayers from subsidizing the generation of energy. That's a win-win scenario. So, miners can also smooth out the intermittent generation of new renewables by participating in grid balancing services. Miners not only will consume excess generation from wind and solar generation, but also then reduce their energy consumption nearly to zero when ratepayers and other key sectors like hospitals and businesses need power. Miners regularly reduce their consumption in states that allow this kind of grid participation, ensuring grid operators have the ability to keep the lights on and power prices low. Miners aren't just good for renewables, they can also make use of stranded methane, a potent greenhouse gas that is often uneconomical to bring to market. Methane is frequently vented or flared from landfills, abandoned wells, and oil and gas operations. But because Bitcoin miners can operate anywhere, they can turn stranded methane gas into electricity and use it to mine Bitcoin, generating both a monetary and environmental benefit. Former Greenpeace activist and researcher Daniel Baton has stated that it would take around 50 mid-large-size landfills in the United States fully combusting their methane to make the entire Bitcoin network carbon negative, a feat which is nearly impossible for any other industry to accomplish unless they do so through the through the purchase of carbon credits. These use cases highlight just a few ways Bitcoin mining can reduce overall emissions while encouraging the build-out of America's energy resources. Bitcoin mining should be viewed as an effective tool for the lower emissions future, not a contributing problem. So what are the perils of proof of stake? Despite these benefits, many have pressured those in Bitcoin industry to move to another way to create blocks of transactions, specifically a mechanism known as proof of stake. Rather than using specialized computers, proof of stake relies on users locking up their cryptocurrency for a period of time in a process known as staking. This allows users to generate a passive income while contributing to the processing transactions and securing the network. While this process does use less energy, it comes with other complications. The SEC chair Gary Gensler recently sat down for an interview where he argued that every cryptocurrency other than Bitcoin was a security, and therefore under the jurisdiction of the SEC, The interview came just days after the SEC filed an enforcement action against the cryptocurrency exchange Kraken for letting its U.S. customers use their Ethereum tokens to participate in staking to validate the Ethereum network. This enforcement action included a hefty fine and a cease and desist order. On top of these actions, Gensler has commented separately that any cryptocurrency using proof of stake could be a security and therefore fall under the SEC's regulatory jurisdiction. By maintaining its current proof of work structure, those in the Bitcoin space can avoid such complications. The Bitcoin community should continue on its current path and look to empower renewable energy, mitigate methane emissions, and utilize stranded energy to improve both the network and America's power generation. EPW's core mission is balancing fundamental American needs such as energy reliability alongside environmental stewardship, and Bitcoin can help America achieve this. With this in mind, we should be embracing Bitcoin mining and fostering its growth across the nation to ensure the United States leads the globe, or the plane, in the next wave of energy and environmental innovation. And that's all I have to say about that.
All right, let me scroll down from the top.
My goodness, this Q&A is boring today. Just nothing there, huh, George? All right, let's see what else we've got. So, yeah, Kraken is launching a bank because who's getting in the way of all this garbage? Who is getting in the way? Who is causing all the problems? Oh, the regulators. That's right. I hear some people say, well, it should be regulated. Yeah, okay. Let's let the idiots in charge have control over everything. Wait, what the hell are you thinking? Well, crypto should be regulated. Oh, because the whole purpose of Bitcoin, the whole purpose was so that it didn't have to be regulated. That's why it's open source. That's why it's trustless. That's what decentralized finance is trying to work out. That's the projects that the populace, people that are trying to use their brains to come up with alternatives to the control system that they're trying to lay upon all of us, are doing. Don't you understand? Let's let who regulate it? The same people that caused the shit problems that we're all in the first place, that would rather regulate you out of business and into their CBDC. No, we do not need any more regulation. We do not need any more complication. They're the ones that made the regulators and the lawmakers and these government idiots that know nothing about anything except how to milk you for everything. Rip off the common person. These same people that are trying to get you to take whatever it is that's in them damn show. You want to give them control. Then they'll regulate everything right all into this control mechanism. So no, we want to stay decentralized. We want to stay open source. We want to stay away from those regulators. So places like Kraken have decided, well, you know what, then we've got the resource, we're just going to be our own bank. And there's more than one place doing that. There are people that are working on that to try to sort of have a parallel system. Oh, you're not allowed to have a parallel system? They are allowed to make war, right? They're allowed to dictate that everybody should be fully immunized against the boogie virus. Huh? They're the ones that tell you how to make money, they can sell the power, or they can give away the power to create money to some private bank way back when. And we all went along with it. We all said, yeah, at least here in America, we're like, oh, okay. Simply put, you know, we still have the power to mint coins, right? We don't have the power to make that money anymore because that's for the Federal Reserve Bank, which isn't anything federal. It's privately owned by, you know, foreign banks and stuff. But we do have the power to mint coins. So we could mint like $1 billion coins, $1 trillion coins. And just, I don't know how many, what is it? Like, let's say it's $30 trillion, whatever the hell we owe. And just, okay, if it's $30 trillion, give them $30 trillion coins, march them over there to the Treasury, to the Federal Reserve, to whoever needs them, and say, there you go, the debt's paid. Now, next. Could we do that? We just pay them in crypto? I'm going to do what we'll do. Yeah, we'll make, yeah. I don't know. It's ridiculous. People tried to come up with their own systems. I remember somebody had their own stock market working, and the SEC came and threatened them. People were making money off it. Crypto stock market. It was a real experimental thing, and everything was, you know, there's risks in everything. Remember, the story goes, like the big companies like Microsoft and Apple and all, they started in somebody's garage, right? How come they got to make big, multi-billion, trillion-dollar world-dominating corporations, and you can't start something in your garage with crypto? Or who knows what next, now that AI's out of the bag, everybody's got a piece of the AI. There's I don't know where that's going to lead. You need to run the big version. You need like 350 gigabytes of VRAM. That's an Ethereum mining center is what that is. You need an Ethereum mining center. And that's what is going to be done now. You need to get, if anybody's working in AI, you need to buy out all those. They're probably not cheap anymore. They know. But all those graphics cards that no longer can be used to mine Ethereum, because Ethereum went to proof of stake, right, from proof of work, makes those graphics cards useless to mine Ethereum. What can they be used for? Oh, they can be used for artificial intelligence. Now, I don't know if that's good or bad. I don't know where AI is going to lead us, but swarm intelligence of the Chans has released it, and you get all the good and bad that goes along with that. Anyway, so the market right now, again, is rather flat. Again, I think that innovation should not be stifled. I'm a free speech maximalist, absolutist, and I'm an innovation maximalist, absolutist as well. And so I think that it's hackers that keep technology in check, by the way. It really is. Stay tuned for Deacon John. He's coming up in about 3 or 4 minutes here. Shout out to everybody over at the Independent Broadcast Network, Jimmy Jean and folks. And, of course, everybody in our chat room over at freedomslips.org, freedomslips.net, revolution.radio. Yeah. So watch a video, a tutorial on something you don't know. It doesn't have to be crypto. Learn something new. Tell yourself, promise yourself that sometime this week, you'll learn something new that you didn't know before. Just to see if you can still do it. I don't know. Maybe it could be a new language or something. All right, I'm out of here. Ciao, ciao.
At Willow's World, a variety of news, commentary, and poetry at Willow's Poetry Corner, where there are comfy cushions and a tempting selection of delectable comestibles. A show that's quirkily and quintessentially British, with a unique twist featuring Willow Andreasen, your host. Join Willow Mondays and Thursdays, 2 till 4 p.m. Eastern Time, Studio A.
My name is Mr. Rowe. I am the host of Reality Extraction. On Revolution Radio at freedomslips.com, I utilize logic, intellect, and magic to methodically autonomize, vivisect, analyze, examine, study, scrutinize, and extract an essence of reality from a fog of illusion and...